Okay, welcome to Chicago Jazz Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers here. We are live at Katarina's, 1920 West Irving Park Road here in Chicago. It's okay for our huge audience to go ahead and clap if they want to. There it is. There it is. Record here every Tuesday night from 6:15 to about 7:45 or so. And then, of course, there's always an after set. And lucky for us, we have the after set of Paulinho Garcia and Grażyna Augustczyk performing here live. And, of course, we just heard a song from them opening up the show. And that song is Agua de Bebe.
That's it.
I said it correct, huh?
It's right there.
By Joe Beam. Well, hi, guys. I'm glad you could make it in. And this worked out great because I've wanted to have at least one of you on the show, but it actually turns out that you're both here tonight, and it just worked out perfectly with schedules.
It's great. We are inseparable.
Yeah.
It's great to be here, and we're glad that we finally can meet with at Katarina's Live and with all the listeners around.
Yeah. You know, I know a lot of our audience listening in here on WDCB is familiar with both of you, and they've probably heard you guys perform together and also separate. So mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about how the two of you got together and started performing as a duo. But maybe before that, maybe we can kind of break it into a little bit of a segment, and we can start with Grażyna. Why don't we talk a little bit about your background first? I mean, how did you become the – I mean – I've read a lot of reviews online. Of course, I've listened to a lot of your recordings and stuff. And, you know, you're kind of that crossover where you can do traditional jazz, contemporary jazz. You mix in a lot of different sounds, a lot of different textures in your music. How did you start to develop that? Was it at a young age that you started to sing and perform?
Yeah, I started music very early. And so before I came to U.S., I've been performing different type of jazz. I started from like a straight ahead, and before I got here, I started to experiment with maybe a little funk music. Mm-hmm. But I came to Berkeley 25 years ago, and I came directly to Boston to study at Berklee College of Music. And over there, I met a lot of wonderful musicians, so I experiment again with different type of jazz, but of course I studied jazz music and jazz improvisation, and I had to do every semester a recital with a different program. Mm-hmm. I invited different musicians from different part of the world. So musicians.
Oh, so you'd bring them over for your recitals and stuff.
Oh, of course, because we all study there.
Okay.
Incredible musicians. This, most of them, I mean, most musicians with whom I play, they are big the stars these
right.
days. And so we playing with different musicians. Also, there was a big part of my music. My music changed because of the musicians. Mm-hmm. It was a big influence from them. They came from different part of the world. I remember my first recital. My first recital was I had 5 people. One was from Cameroon. One was from Austria. From Israel. One American, and another one was. I think also from Austria, because there was a bass player and drummer. So it was my first experience, and I started to introduce Polish folk music, but of course in my way. And that was my like the first judge, the musicians, and the school audience, which is the worst audience because they judge, they're harsh judge.
Oh yeah.
And and then every semester, I new people arrived to school, and I tried to play with them, and so the music also developed. So I pick up different tunes, different styles, and very early I started to pick up instrumental tunes. I had a wonderful classes with had a great teachers. Some bebop. I learned bebop music, which I also included to my repertory. And so, that's music. My music, I can say, changed over the 20 years, and I'm still open for different kind of experience. And Chicago is a perfect place where a lot of musicians from different parts of the world also playing. So it's a perfect place to try to get the influence from them. So
yeah,
that's the why the music is has a different variation.
You know, it's interesting too, because I know Berklee College of Music is one of those top music schools, so it attracts people from all over the world. So first of all, that had to be an incredible experience. But did you start off like were you in a musical family, or was it just something that just grabbed you over in Poland that said, I wanted to sing.
My family were very musical, but they weren't professional musicians. Mm-hmm. They were singers. They mostly sing folk music, but they weren't instrumentalists. My grandparents, whom I didn't meet, they were instrumentalists. They played violin and played clarinet, mostly folk music. But all my family, they were very musical, but I didn't really get like a direct experience from them. I just had in my bones.
That's all. You had it around you, but yeah. they weren't really necessarily totally influential in you decided to become a musician.
They rather to see me working as a steady job than than musicians traveling and didn't know tomorrow.
What do you mean? Music doesn't have a steady job, Pauline?
No.
What?
Doesn't happen.
When did that happen?
Well,
it's a steady from the beginning to the end of the gig.
Yeah, right. Hopefully, unless they ask you to leave, right?
Yeah.
So at Berklee is really when you decided to come to America to go to Berklee, mm-hmm. basically, and then you just said, you know what, this is an incredible scene. But now you still go back and forth to Poland, and you perform, you do sellout concerts and tours and
yes.
and everything in Poland. So, I mean, your name is very well established in Poland, especially,
yes.
right? So that you kind of have the best of both worlds, where you can live in Chicago, you went to Berklee, you know people from all over the country, but then you also can tour Europe and have that recognition.
Yeah, it's a I love to go to Europe, and always when I coming over there or coming from there, there's like a wonderful experience for me. I miss States, Chicago, when I'm there, where I miss Poland when I'm here. So I'm kind of, like to say, on two legs, but one
yeah.
leg one is in one country and one continent, and one is in the other. But it's actually for me very. I can say it's a lot of work to bring musicians over there. We've been with Paulinho maybe 10 times, maybe 11 times in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very challenging, but it's, on the other hand, it's a lot of fun. I really like to introduce my music, my musicians over there. And also, I like to introduce Polish musicians here
mm-hmm.
and my native music as well. So I think I'm kind of... That's my mission.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know that when we first talked, which was a couple of years ago, just on the phone, and, you know, you're one of the few musicians, I think, that actually is almost like an entrepreneur thinking that way, because, I mean, I can remember you were setting up a jazz series tour kind of thing throughout Chicago with a liquor sponsor and with all of this stuff. And I think you also set up tours, your own tours, I would imagine, in Poland and
yes,
in Europe
yes.
and everything else. I mean, most musicians don't do that. So what kind of gave you that incentive or that thought that, you know, this is really kind of how I need to do this if I'm going to do this? And, you took kind of the business side of it as well, and it obviously is working really well for you.
Who is going to do for me?
Right.
I have to do it. I love to do it. Music is my actually... it's my love and my home and my job and my and pleasure. I never treat music as a job. It's mm-hmm. it's always treated as a gift and pleasure. And it's very hard to, as an independent, I've been independent all my life. And so I released like 15 CDs under my name and my company. I established my company in 1996, which not so many people let the 15 years ago, they had the courage to do it. Oh, no, 15. No, it was more than 15, 16, 17 years ago. And I took a little risk because I realized it was will be very difficult for me to introduce my music to record label. I have a different accent. I'm like the I mean foreigner. I'm not American, and sing different kind of music. I don't know if the people understand what I'm trying to say through my music. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to establish my own label, and as an independent. I met a lot of time, opinion and people who don't really like to work with independent. They expect from us to have a major label distribution years ago. Now it's different, but years ago. And they expect from us to have some kind of sponsors or money, right. And they could work with us. But in other hand, you have to be lucky to find someone who has the same patience and passion as me, and we can work as a team. So it's business. So it's very difficult. For us as an independent artist, it's very difficult to find professional agencies and labels and everything. So we took a risk, and we just still doing what we're doing. And we are actually free, and we could do whatever we want to do. We can release the CDs whenever the CD is ready. And it comes from our pocket, mm-hmm. pocket and comes from wherever I'm ready. But it's a lot of fun. It's very challenging. But, you know, the first CD was pretty hard. It's like you work all your life. But second, you have like a small amount of time, limited time of time, just 1 year, and you have to be better than the first one. And then it's easier.
Yeah.
It's more work in every CD we release. It's more work, and especially today, because everything is so it's so many incredible artists, and it's so easy to make CD today than like 15 years ago.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, 17 years ago when you started it, do you find now that it's a whole lot easier to do everything? Because I can only imagine 17 years ago.
Yeah, it was difficult financially, and today it's also difficult financially. If you want sound really good, if you want to go to real studio and have a good sound and have a great acoustic sound, it's not cheap, but it's easier because of the technology. You can right. make CD at home, and people don't really care about the quality. A lot of people, the CD is today like a demo, mm-hmm. and that's why it's a big competition on the market, and we have to find a way how to promote our music and how to bring the attention to the audience, their attention, how to promote our CD that there's the best, and how to find a way to people to open the envelope. So it's not easy. It's difficult, but we're still doing music, and I think it's nothing changed since I started to do. Just I'm stronger, and I have a more experience, and more physical maybe energy, but but I'm a fighter, so I'm a warrior.
Yeah. Well, trust me, I know about running a music business, and it's not easy running an independent music business. And, you know, I mean, I deal with a lot of musicians that come to me with their CDs and with different mm-hmm. things, and, you know, just kind of looking over what you've done. And same thing with you, Pauline. You know, I mean, you put a lot of stuff out all on your own as well.
Yeah.
And just mm-hmm. individually, you know, since we're talking about this subject. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, as far as putting things out, you've got a recordings coming out you know.
Yeah, I have a new CD coming out soon. And it was to come out by the end of September, but it's not going to, because a producer from New York decided to put some money on it and do some help with the CD. So it's a love song CD.
Oh, okay.
And so it's going to be released on Valentine's Day. But I'm going to have the CD by mid-October.
Okay.
I'll have the CD ready. But the official release is
What's the name of it?
Beautiful Love.
Beautiful Love. Okay. And with the which band is that with?
Just my own band, me.
That's easy.
Yeah, that's the easiest one. You can't get in a fight with yourself on stage or anything.
Oh, you don't know. I fight more with myself than
you could be mad.
On the stage.
Well, so Paulinho, with you. Now, you had a little bit different story because I think you were performing professionally in Brazil, right? Before
I did,
you even came to the United States.
Even though music was always among many things that I did. Like every Brazilian, I played soccer.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated in physics because they thought if I just work with musicians, I would starve to death. I haven't done it yet.
You haven't starved to death
my family,
yet?
Yeah, raise my family with the guitar as a voice. But I always been a musician. I started singing when I was 9 years old. I sang on a program for kids in my city, Belo Horizonte. And after that, I played a lot of instruments. I started playing drums first. And then I switched to the bass. That became my main instrument until I came to the United States. Here in the United States, they figured out I could sing and play guitar, and I start being a guitar player and sing, and all of a sudden, that's all I do. They don't call me for the bass anymore. I don't even have the callus anymore.
Well, when was the last time you played bass?
About a year and a half ago or something
like
really?
That.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I played some salsa music.
Oh.
Nobody thought I was Brazilian. Say, you're Cuban. We all the same. But I... music has been with me all my life, mm-hmm. even though I did different things, and I played all kinds of music. Right at the beginning, when I started playing bass, I played a lot of Argentinian tangos. Then I played a lot of boleros. I switched to British rock.
Well, there's a switch. He went from boleros to, the Beatles.
Then I started receiving some records from the United States, and I the first one I still remember was Mahalia Jackson, and I just fell in love with Mahalia Jackson. And after that, I got Nat King Cole and Chet Baker. A lot of people started giving me, singers, mm-hmm. Jazz. And especially Chet attracted me a lot to jazz. That was the first time I started paying attention to jazz.
Okay.
So that's some great music, and you start doing some sketch, some things.
And that's when you were in Brazil, or you were up here already?
I was in Brazil.
Yeah.
I would say almost the time to come here.
Okay.
And then when I came here, I just developed a little more. I got a lot of. I think I played with everybody that plays an instrument in Chicago.
And your style too, though. I'm trying to envision you coming in. I mean, and sitting in with everybody, right? I mean, that's kind of what was going on back then.
Yeah, and the band too. When we came here, Breno Sauer and Neuza Sauer had the band called Breno's Brazilian Sound. And then when I came here, the band became Made in Brazil. And
Brazil.
Yeah, and I sing, I played, I did some arrangement for the band, and through that band, and some of the greatest musicians from Chicago, Howard Levy played there, Ron Duvall played there, Ike Sasajima on guitar, it's so many,
mm-hmm.
and Steve Eisen, of course. So many great musicians, you know, that passed through the band, so I got a lot of, that was my school.
Yeah.
By listening to these people, I really developed whatever I had brought from Brazil, you know, mm-hmm. all the mixture of music from all over the world.
Well, you know, and your sound, I mean, is obviously very unique to you.
Yes.
I guess first off, just thinking about all of the different times I've seen you perform, you have a way of taking like a jazz standard and just twisting it and making it like sound like it should have been a Brazilian tune to begin with.
Yes.
And how did that start? Was it just you just kind of just loving the music and just playing it and just playing it in your style?
All my life, I think the melody is everything. So whatever comes after that is just like condiments that you put on the on the food. So you can get, for example, I just record bluesette in samba, and so it's in 2-4 instead of 3-4. I recorded Take Five, for example. That's 5-4 I record in a samba style.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping the five, but in a summer pattern. So there's everything. It looks like everything I put my hand, that Brazilian feel, that my the character I brought with me. Even though one thing I noticed by listening to all the Brazilian musicians, and also all the Brazilian musicians also told me that, Jeff Hamilton, drummer, just told me the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm becoming a unique style. There has the Brazilian roots, but it's not that kind of Brazilian music they play in Brazil. I don't sound like João Gilberto, any of those musicians. It looks like by all this mix of a music, it little by little is becoming a style that it's unique and it's my own.
Yeah. Well, and that's the name of the game too.
Yes.
I mean, that's the whole goal for any musician is to get your own sound and your own style.
Yeah.
And you think it just kind of developed over time just from playing in so many different situations and playing so many different tunes and stuff.
Yes, yeah. That's the way it happened. Another thing, it's I always tell students that I have at Roosevelt or Old Town School of Music, you know, you have to be open for every kind of music in the world, because you always learn from everything.
Yeah.
If you just put your mind in one style, you might become great in that style. But, you know, you limit your market because you're playing just for people who like that kind of style. But when you open your ears for a lot of influence, you enrich yourself. It's like the first time I heard Gragina singing. It's, wow, man, That's the way I want to sing. All my life I'm trying to.
This is not true.
It's not true.
I heard him first, and I was like watching him playing solo in some club here in Chicago. My friend he actually brought me there and said, "You have to listen to Paulinho Garcia. He sings fantastic. You have to see him." So I went once to that place, and he was singing with you. I remember you had a rhythm machine.
A drum machine, yeah.
Oh, a drum machine. Oh, no. As a drummer, that's not good.
I don't know, but I remember that. And then that was like 1995.
Wow, man,
long time ago. And so
I had a couple more black hair at that time.
Oh, yes. And then I bothered him for a few years. So, I think we should sing together. So can we try to do one tune? And he said, yeah, because he's so polite and he's so nice. Mm-hmm. He said, yes, of course. And it's like 1 year left, second, third. And I brought like a couple of tunes to his place and said, let's try. And we end up to do demo.
That was the first time you guys actually played together, was when you went over and you guys were just...
I invited him to play in 96 when I was doing my first CD, and he was playing only, but you didn't sing. He just he was playing in one of my concerts. He didn't play with me, just by himself. And then together we started to do things like in 98, 99, and we released the first CD, the demo, become a CD, because it was pretty cool, and it surprised all of us.
It's amazing. From all of my CDs, is the one who sold the most.
Yeah.
Really?
The same with my CD.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just that first one, the first two, that was supposed to be a demo.
It wasn't even sound good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there was his friend, he was born in the same day.
Yeah, we started in my house, in my basement, but my dog and trucks and things that make it impossible to do anything.
So we went to his friend, Geraldo Oliveira. Yeah. We came to his place, and he set up some kind of studio, recording studio in his attic. The sound wasn't that great, but we had a friend who was born in the same day as we are, because we were born in August 17th.
Yeah, Carioca.
And then you had another friend that was born August 17th?
Yes.
And all right, this is getting weird.
We didn't realize that we find out later. But and he's a fantastic engineer from Brazil. And so we started to work with him. I always said, studio, you can have an incredible studio, but you don't have a good ear, good engineer, it's impossible to make a good good recording. So that's why the recording, it's a demo, but we released the demo as the first CD.
Some people love it. It is.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, if they sold it, you sold that many, huh? Well, what's the name of that one?
Fragile.
Okay. After
it actually is the Sting song. It's the only song in English, I think.
Yeah, it's also... Yeah, I don't know. Maybe... No. Something.
Yeah. It's the only one. And it's a song from Sting. At that time, I didn't even knew who Sting was.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't. She brought me the song. I remember. I said, "This is from Sting," and I said, "Sting." I knew the group.
Oh, the Police.
I knew it, but I never knew him.
That was a long time ago.
Well, but I'm from a long time ago.
So then you guys put that out accidentally, obviously, and it started selling. And that must mean that you guys started performing together, because I'm sure you were selling at gigs and selling at shows and things like that. Were you just getting club gigs here and there, or did you actually like do something where you started, you know, touring and traveling?
Yeah, actually, through Regina, she got this tour, the first tour in Poland, and was great.
That was right off the bat, right after you guys kind of got together?
Yeah, it was 2000, I think, in 2000.
Yeah, it was very well received.
And then and since that time, we were just kind of regularly coming to Poland. And we've been in on our first tour, I think, in Czech, also in Prague.
Yeah.
Then
we went to Japan as three for Brazil, include Greg Fishman on the saxophone. We recorded a CD for Pony Canyon, and the CD is only available in Japan. But it's a gorgeous CD.
So you can only get it in Japan.
Only get in Japan, and that CD won the best vocal jazz CD in Japan.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. What made Greg very mad?
Because he was,
what am I doing here?
He's the third wheel.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about that real fast, too, just for our listeners, since we brought up three for Brazil, of course, you and Greg are two for Brazil.
Two for Brazil, yeah.
And you got started a little bit differently, but it was because of Rick Hogan, wasn't it? Didn't he put you guys on the radio together?
Yeah, Rick was a great help for us. And until today, like sometimes he called me to do some things for him, and... but he helped a lot to promote the name Two for Brazil.
Yeah. Well, and you guys first played together on his show, right?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, the first time Greg and I played together, it was a tribute for Jobim and Stanguetz. Their birthday is very, very close. It's January or February, something like that. But very, very close. And the department, the Chicago Cultural Affairs.
Cultural Center.
Yeah, Cultural Center. Yeah, they ran out of money. I don't know how they did that. But they ran out of money. And so they decide to combine. They used to have a tribute to Stan Getz and a tribute to Jobim. So they decide one day to combine. And then Peter McDowell. He was he was the guy who... made to right. True for Brazil, because I didn't know Greg.
Even budget cuts hit Stan Getz.
And I didn't know Greg, so I just show up there and say, "Well, you guys gonna play together?" I go, "Well, let's go." And that was it.
Really?
And since then, Greg and I, we never rehearsed. I come up with a song and do my arrangements and complicate as much as I can. And let him, he has an amazing ear. He comes in and put his parts and everything.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. It's everything, it's fresh. Mm-hmm. All the time, because we never rehearse, and sometimes we go like 2-3. Like now, he moved a little bit to Arizona. He keep going back and
comes
forth.
Comes back and forth. Yeah,
yeah. And but I sometimes we don't play for a long time together, and then we come in to play. I even forget the keys. You know, like, not to say about the harmony. So he really has to have a good ear, because switching thing all over the world, all over the place. Yeah.
Well, I'd love to hear that recording in Japan. Do you think they're ever going to bring it over to the States, or it's just over there?
Yeah, I could see if I still have it, one CD at home. I used to have. They send us some CDs, but I had a little water backup in my basement a long time ago, and so some of the CDs were gone.
Oh, boy.
Include some of the two for Brazil CD too, were gone and the thing got damaged.
Yeah.
But I might still have it. I'm going to take a look, you know.
Yeah. I was very ill when we recorded the CD. Oh, my
God.
I couldn't sing. Oh, was that, but I should have a cold every time I record.
It's amazing. Unless your throat is completely closed, mm-hmm. you know, we still can sing. You know, that there is some CD, like the Beatles CD, when we recorded, I had no voice at all. And the next day I came in, I said, oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to sing anything.
Do you know that things happen very often to vocalists? Of course, the instrumentalists can agree with us because they don't use the voice, the human, mm-hmm. the human part of the body. But I don't know, maybe it's a kind of psychological stress. And when we come to recording and we are most of the time in very bad condition, probably comes from the. I talk to a lot of singers and they the same thing.
It's got to be stress related, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
just thinking about it, you know. So. You guys did the three for Brazil, and then you guys have traveled. Now, Paulinho, what is a crowd in Poland? Do they connect with the music, like the Brazilian music,
yeah.
maybe even more than in America? I don't know.
Well, it's I think I don't compare. It's different because we have great audience here too, especially at Catarina's. We have amazing audience mm-hmm. that come to see us all the time. But I see Poland like my second home. I identify with the people, identify with the places. I don't speak the language, and I feel so comfortable there. But the warmth that you receive from the audience in Poland, it's wonderful.
So because in Poland we play concerts. We play concerts for different audience, for like from 100 to 1,000. And they come to see us as a special evening, and it's not like they don't come by accident to the club. They come to see the performance, the artist.
Yeah.
And it's really like special concerts. We've been always doing this, even in the club. It's a little bit different than States. People don't they come to the club maybe just like from the street, but I can say 99% they just come to see the artist.
So they're pretty focused on the music when they come into the club.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why is that, do you think? Is there just certain clubs for like dancing and stuff, and if you're coming to this club, you're going to be there for the music?
I don't. The jazz clubs are not the dancing clubs. They're just the. If you come during the day, I don't know if they even open during the some, but you can just hang out and have a meal or drink. But most places are like a performance places. We played a lot of with in like different theaters and some performing spaces. So. That's Poland. I don't know.
I hear about that, though. I mean, even in Europe itself, you know, compared to here when people are performing, let's just say sometimes the audience isn't totally focused on the performance, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
that's
in Europe,
different.
I hear that in Poland.
Especially eastern part of Europe. They
right.
It's very different.
Yeah.
But it's very focused on, and you know, that's why a lot of musicians, and you can actually speak to this perfectly, Gravina. A lot of musicians are trying to get things released in Europe because they feel like there's more of an audience there for jazz. There's more of a demand for it. Why do you think that is?
I think it was because, you know, for many, many years, we didn't have a lot of people from, I mean, players from different countries. And then when the country kind of opened, and today it's different, but let's say since like 10, 15, 20 years is different. But I remember there wasn't that obvious to see foreign musicians playing in the festivals and clubs. We had a one major jazz festival in Warsaw since like the festival was established in 1956. And it was Jazz Jamboree. And I read, and then I remember maybe not much, but a little bit. For Jazz Jamboree in October, there was like a window to the, let's say, West. A lot of different listeners, fans came from different countries for this festival. It was one of the most important in east part of Europe. And so that's why people, they were get kind of like hungry to listen different music, and they respect musicians. They respect us wonderfully. They like to have a picture with us. They would like to sign the CDs, and they're still buying CDs in Poland. Less than used to be, but still buying CDs. And there's a big respect for music, for music and musicians.
I mean, so that obviously, you know, is probably a main reason why people, and even in Asia too, you know, there's a huge demand. It's similar, right? I mean, you guys have toured all over the world, and do you find that you get that kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say respect, but I guess respect compared to when you're, maybe in the U.S. people just kind of take it for granted a little bit more, do you think?
It could be. You know that Asia, for example, all the other place I played in Asia was, like Regina said, concerts. So people really come to hear and to see the concert, enjoying. And they really buy CDs. You play, they'll buy it. They will support the artist. And we played in Singapore. And I took 100 CDs because I couldn't fit more, and that thing was gone in like 10 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't have any more CDs to sell.
Yeah, but it was there's also a huge audience, and we played with other artists as well, but there's a big appreciation from them. So I think it's hard to describe and compared. Everywhere people are coming to listen to music, and there are some who wants to just, you know, talk and just have a good time. But in general, yeah, the people who coming to listen, they just admire us, and so I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, that's the name of the game, to actually have people listening and admiring you, right? Now, this just in, I got a text message here from Katarina. So you, Paulinho, are going to be playing here, wait a minute, let me pull it up, monthly, the third Saturday of every month from 10 p.m. until 1:30, Sound Minus Quartet, Samba, Samba, Samba.
Yes.
What kind of group is that?
Oh, it's a
obviously I know what kind of group it is.
It's a great night. It's a great night because it's a samba night, and I have the chance to play the real Brazilian music from the beginning. We play the first samba I ever record, some of the greatest composers, and it's always very well attended. Some people even dance here. And because there's no way you can hear someone sitting down all the time.
Right.
You have to move a little bit. And a lot of my students from Old Town School of Music, they come and they sing with me, and people get impressed because they're all Americans, doctors, engineers, and singing samba here. they love it. It's a great night. It's a great night to come. And it's the late night, so we start at 10 o'clock. We go to 1:30 in the morning. So there's.
And that's the third, just for our listeners, that's the third Saturday of every month here at Katarina's.
Yes.
So more information at katarinas.com. And what is your website?
PaulinhoGarcia.com.
And that's easy enough. And then
GrażynaAugustyk.com.
And, of course, I'll have links to both of their websites from ChicagoJazz.com. Now, you're playing in all these different duos. It must be pretty exciting to all of a sudden add a band into the mix. And I know you recorded a CD with Nick Ipers on Chicago Sessions a few years back, and that was... Was that one of the first, well, I don't know about the first, but one of the very few that you actually had a full band with you, right?
Yeah, that actually I called the musician that played with me since the beginning, since I came here, like Steve Eisen, Ernie Denov on guitar. Those are the first musicians that I met in Chicago. And Gerald, for example, in percussion. And Gerald, I know him for... I don't know, 50 years we've been playing together, so it's a long time. So that it's a very nice CD, and I was kind of concerned because the CD had to be all my own composition. Mm-hmm. And we played all my music, and that CD almost made to the Grammys, and I was extremely surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was really well received.
The acceptance of the CD was unbelievable.
But you've never really done any traveling or anything with that kind of a band, right?
No. Most of my traveling it's with the duos, especially the Two for Brazil and Gragina. And also I have a duo with Julie Coyden, classical flute player. But we play folk classical Brazilian music like chorinhos and things like that, and some music from South America. And very good. We just went to the flute convention in New Orleans, like this, and 3,000 flute players. I heard flute for the next 3 years. but some amazing.
Did they play together?
Player. Yes,
some 3,000, amazing. 3,000, no.
Yeah, it was great for me to see Hubert Loss for the first time. You know, it's excellent. And Orlando Maraca, sensational from Cuba. So it was a great experience. So I always travel with the duo, even though I do a lot of things. I don't know how I learn all those things, but I do a lot of arrangement. I'm very fast and good in writing. So last year I did the Big Band Brazil. It was sponsored by the Jazz Institute. Mm-hmm. Lauren Dosh helped me a lot. And the Brazilian ambassador and the Brazilian embassy to help me. So I could put that band together for the writing for eight horns and percussions and things. I was kind of scared. But what I did, I called to play the guys who are really writers and great musicians. So if they don't leave in the first day, it's good. So it came out very nice, a very, very powerful band, and a 14-piece band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that was that's here and there you get those kinds of things. Otherwise, it's just with the duo.
The duo is my preference because I really like, I have a very soft, I could say romantic nature. Actually, Howard Wright, one of the person that helped me most in the city, Howard always said that the soft-spoken way that I do attract a lot of people. I like that softness, nice, simple sound that you can get through a duo and a classical guitar instead of an amplified electric guitar.
You know? Mm-hmm. Now, Gragina, you have October 16th.
Yes.
The Drake at the Drake.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about the Drake Project. Is that what it's called?
Yes. I recorded this project a year ago. I released a year ago, but I recorded like 2 years ago. I wasn't sure if I should do the Drake and not. I remember when I was on the road with my... I'm an opposite than Paulinho. I take four musicians with me on the road. I'm killing myself organizing everything. We've been once with Paulinho and the CD Andanza It was four of us plus the string quartet from Poland.
Holy cow.
And
you're the business manager, too, so you're running
everything.
Yeah.
I'm a mommy and the roadie and everything, translator. So when I was on the road with my musicians at that time was Matthew Lurie, John Dietemeyer, and Joe McLean. We were in the van traveling in Poland, and John Dietemeyer introduced me to Nick Drake's CD, Five Leaves Left. I started to listen. I didn't know, like Pauline, I didn't know about Sting. I didn't know about Nick Drake. And I was starting to listen. It's like, what is this? This is so beautiful. I was asking guys to play this over and over and over. And then I John gave it to me. So, oh, it's yours. So I listen at home. And I pick up one tune and play with the guys in the live situations. And then I pick up another tune and a third tune, and I ask them, maybe we should do the whole thing. They said, yeah, let's do it. But I said, without you guys, I can't do it. Because there is your this is your music. The music was made 4 years ago, but we probably weren't even planned to come on the earth. But
who was Nick Drake?
Nick Drake is a singer-songwriter, British singer-songwriter, who died in 1974.
Oh, okay.
His first CD was done in 1968, second was 1970, and third was 1972, and he died in 1974 as a young man. He was only 26 years old.
Oh, wow.
Very talented, very beautiful voice, wonderful writing, beautiful poetry. And when I was doing the recording, I was thinking to put everything together, so I was talking to my musicians, and who discovered actually that's a new generation discovered old music, and it's become a very like a hip music this time. Mm-hmm. It happened like 8 years ago when I discovered through my musicians, and so I was thinking and about the arrangements, about the setup. And finally I record it, and I'm playing this music, and it's pretty beautiful. And by the way, John Goody, the poet who is working here just like as a bartender, he wrote a wonderful poem. I included this poem in the cover, and I also invited him to read the poetry during the concert in October 16th.
That's at the Palm Court? In the Drake Hotel?
Yeah, we're gonna do the whole project plus poetry, and so with the whole band, it's a six-piece band, and Jan reading the poetry.
So now, do you do this because since it's called the Drake Project, right?
Yeah, the project called the album called The Man Behind the Sun, mm-hmm. The Songs of Nick Drake.
Okay, so now is this the first time you're performing this?
Not first time. I perform already, but it's interesting. I found it interesting to play Drake at the Drake.
Well, see, you're
maybe they are related.
You're thinking
in the past.
Well, see, you're thinking as a business person too, because Drake at the Drake. I mean, that's it's a great marketing deal right there, huh?
Yeah, and then I'm taking the band to Poland, and we're gonna perform in Poland. We have I think 8 concerts around Poland.
Wow!
October.
In October?
Yes.
So you do this, and then you pretty much leave then, and you go.
Yeah.
Now. Speaking of what else you guys have coming up, it says here on my updated text message from Katarina that you guys perform here on a regular basis depending on your schedule. So I'm assuming you're going to have some dates coming up, so they should get more information at katarinas.com on when the two of you are going to be back here performing live.
Yeah.
But before we cut everything out, do you guys think you could do a tune for us?
Sure.
Well, thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it.
I should say one thing I should mention before we finish, because I always feel guilty when I don't mention musicians, because the Nick Drake project will be impossible without wonderful musicians. Rob Clearfield, who helped me with arrangements, Matthew Lurie, fantastic bass player. He also wrote some of the arrangements. John Deitemeyer, incredible drummer, and he wrote some of the arrangements. On this album I have a John McLean, but I'm playing with because John is busy with Kurt Elling now, mm-hmm. and so I'm playing with John Krieger, guitarist, wonderful guitarist, yep. and I also have on trumpet Jim Davis, because of the wonderful collaboration, we are able to do the music here in Chicago and everywhere.
That's a true band project,
yes.
right? I mean, because everybody's contributing and everybody's
yes.
doing everything.
And I would love to play with the musicians with my band. I don't have to really like. I don't feel like I am a singer and there is a backup band. We are together. We're just yeah. like a team. And I trust them. And I have to take care of a lot of things because I'm, you know, the lead person. But right. that's how it is. Everybody who lead the band, it has to take care of a lot of stuff. Their dedication and collaboration, it's incredible. The wonderful people, great young musicians with whom I play for last 8 years, eight, mm-hmm. 7 years, no, eight, nine, eight, nine, 10. They saw that the time is flying.
They're getting older too.
And they have wonderful projects. Each of them, they have their own project and they're so busy, and more busy. I started to play with them; they didn't do anything, and now it's so hard to play with them, set up the gig with them.
Well, that's a sign of good musicians, though, if they start yeah. getting busy. So
you see, I have a good nose instinct to find the right people.
Yeah,
like Paulinho Garcia.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, why don't we have you guys jump up and do a song for us? And thanks again for being on Chicago Jazz Revealed here on 90.9 FM. What tune are we going to hear? We're going to hear Blackbird, I think.
Blackbird.
Yeah. And this yeah. is off of
from the last
from the last CD,
yeah.
the tribute to Beatles.
Yeah. Beatles Nova.
In the Latin way.
Yeah.
Of course. And then, of course, they can find out more information about you guys at paulinhogarcia.com.
Yes.
And grażynaaugustyk.com. And, of
yes.
course, I'll have all that up on chicagojazz.com, and it'll be on wdcb.org. And thanks again, guys. We'll look
Thank
forward
to it. Thank you. It was
Thank
a
you,
pleasure.
Jeff. Thank you.
Let's hear the tune.
Support for WDCB and Chicago Jazz Revealed comes from the University of Chicago Presents, announcing its new series, Jazz at the Logan, at the Rava and David Logan Center for the Arts in Hyde Park. The season opens on October 25th with The Bad Plus and continues with Annette Cohen, Dick Hyman, Bill Charlap, and others. Single ticket and subscription information at chicagopresents.u, chicago.edu.
Jazz Revealed, live at Cafe Rumors, is produced by Chicago Jazz Magazine and WDCB. I'm your host, Mike Jeffers. Thanks again to our sponsor, University of Chicago Presents, and of course, Caterina's. Tonight's show, but with extended interviews, is available on podcast at chicagojazz.com. Until then, good night.